I'm Chris Grundy. I'm a lecturer in geographical information systems here at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, and I coordinate all the GIS work that goes on at the school.
I'm Anne Egbert. I'm an artist commissioned to make new work for cartographies of life and death.
So let's start by exploring a little bit about what John Snow's map was about. So for the 1854 cholera outbreak in the middle of Soho, he made an amazing map that's really the focus of this exhibition and the things that are coming out from it. But was this the first time that a disease had actually been mapped?
No, disease mapping has pretty much followed every single aspect of public health. So if you take the important diseases, things like plague, there are maps of plague going back to the 1600s in Italy. It's probably the first map that was ever produced, or first map that we still know exists. And it's followed public health through that. So with cholera being the major public health issue, or one of the major public health issues around the 1850s, we see most of the disease maps being produced being on cholera. And then it's followed that through. So when the London School of Hygiene came to be established in the 1890s, the important public health issues were in the developing world and in the colonies, and diseases like malaria and African sleeping sickness. And a lot of the maps that we see from then are focused around those diseases, and it's carried on right through. So a lot of the public health maps we see nowadays reflect what's going on. Climate change, for instance, is a very big area. Road injury, still malaria, still worms, things like schistosomiasis. The important public health issues are still where we're developing and using techniques.
I think it's fascinating to hear how we're moving from the idea of sort of geography and the epidemiology, which is, I guess, defined as, you know, the study of what is upon the people, that even though John Snow made this beautiful map and the maps that we see for other diseases, it's ultimately all about the people and are you exposed to this infection. I wanted to talk to Anne and bring in the work that you're doing really to bring these ideas of infection and spread to the people. Tell me a bit about some of the stuff that you're doing.
The piece of work that I'm making called Global Ghost Map is based on the idea that my perception that perhaps, obviously, cholera still exists, it's still out there in the world since it was the source of it was discovered, that it was a waterborne disease. But I wanted to know how many outbreaks of cholera there would be during a certain period of time, which was from the anniversary of the outbreak in Soho through to the start of this exhibition. And I thought perhaps there'd be half a dozen. So my intention was, Chris is smiling at this point, so my intention was to map these. I thought perhaps a little more than that, but and to make drawings from using ProMed Mail, the website that you can look up to see what the current outbreaks of disease are globally, and following or tracking the incidence of cholera. And so the idea was that I would look for the region that was indicated on Google Maps, find the location and look for the first indication of human habitation or human activity. So it might be the indication that there were fields or some kind of agriculture going on, or houses, or there may even just be paths, although sometimes that's a bit tricky because it can be animal tracks. You know, you start to, when you begin to look, you realise that there's not certainty about some kind of indicators. And so as soon as I found some habitation in that region on Google Maps, I drew, made a little quite detailed pencil drawing of each area. And I soon found that I couldn't keep up with the number of outbreaks. And I have done, I think it's something like 30 or 36, I think I've done.
So how does it feel to you to know that the art that you're drawing, these almost dispassionate pictures that you're drawing, these are real people's lives and deaths in many cases?
I think that's exactly the point of the work, because, you know, there's this whole sort of sense that we're celebrating John Snow's bicentenary and the discoveries that he made and so on, but actually, globally, cholera is still a massive problem. So in a way, that's what I was thinking about when I thought about doing the work. So there is a kind of, necessarily, there's an anxiety or discomfort.
So tell me a little bit more about the kind of technology. What is this GIS, and how do you use it to track the outbreaks, the modern outbreaks that you're seeing today?
GIS is a little confusing. A lot of people think of it as a piece of software that allows us to produce maps. But what we really mean by it is all these different technologies that exist that allow us to include our work. So we come across it all the time. Anne's, I was very interested in Anne's work. You know, Google Earth is probably one of the main things, and Google Maps is one of the main ways we come across maps nowadays. And we use them throughout our lives. And this new technology and this ability to have maps on the internet allow us to go into any country in the world now and to mark whereabouts we are. So we can take a GPS receiver along with us and mark every case of our disease. And then we can come back and map that information to see whether or not we're getting clustering, how those cases relate to the population. Effectively, we do exactly the same now as John Snow did. We walk around, we look at where the cases are occurring, we talk to experts in other fields, we bring in other information. We've got it a lot easier now. We've got a lot of this information is mapped. So if there is a water supply zone, if there is a water treatment and piped water, we will know where those pipes are when we can get a map. We will have land use information. We'll know about rainfall. We'll know about some of the information about population. And where it doesn't exist, the maps give us an opportunity to find that. So for instance, a lot of my work is looking at how we can use satellite imagery to estimate populations.
It sounds wonderful, like you're saying some kind of the James Bond of public health, spying on all these places. Is it actually legal to do this?
The legal and ethics is something we talked about a lot in public health, and it's actually very interesting. If we look at John Snow's Broad Street map, where he marks every single location of every single death in the Broad Street outbreak, that would now be illegal to produce. I could not legally produce that map anymore. It breaks every single confidentiality rule going. We're not allowed to. The idea of confidentiality is you're not allowed to identify individuals. So we can't produce maps which show where individual cases of disease happen anymore. I would be kicked out of a university. I would probably be criminally prosecuted. And it's quite interesting to see that there will never be another Broad Street map. It will be that is the most famous public health map there will ever be, because we're not allowed to produce those types of maps anymore. You know, the map, this famous map that we all talk about, was actually only produced afterwards as a way of getting across his thoughts in written form. And it's one of the key things. We react very strongly to maps. We still today, if we're talking to policymakers, one of the best ways to engage them is to present them with maps showing how the area you're working has the highest rate of a disease and how it's particularly bad in this location. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, almost John Snow was the original spin doctor, this idea of using a map as a way of engaging people, highlighting the point. I'm not sure I'd like to say it at a John Snow conference, but it'd be very interesting to know if he hadn't produced the map, would we be celebrating John Snow's life? This map has a massive impact, and it's a very interesting, you know, maps are a great way of talking to people.
Well, it's something about making the invisible visible, isn't it? And that's exactly what he was doing. So you produce something visual, a wider audience can understand it at a glance, rather than trying to understand statistics and so on. So I think that that's the value of those kind of visual and aesthetic materials.
So to wrap up, what do you want people visiting this exhibition to come away with? What do you want them to really take out of it?
A couple of things. I mean, from a cholera perspective, I think Anne's work and what she's said highlights the fact that we tend to forget that cholera still occurs around the world and can still occur anywhere. And I think it's very interesting that, you know, she was shocked by how many outbreaks there were. And I think, you know, raising the awareness that a lot of these diseases, which we just forget about in the UK, they don't affect us. The fact that that's just luck, purely by where you're born. And also, I think, just thinking about the way we use maps and how your location affects your health, the things you do, where you walk, the way you walk, the food you eat, you know, all of that's tied into where you live, and, you know, much more so than we probably think.
I think there's something about a kind of collective amnesia as well about disease, because we think, you know, within our own families, if you had family living in London, over the past couple of centuries, there were kind of terrible outbreaks of disease, but particularly child mortality was so high. You know, we kind of get find ourselves in this sort of very comfortable space of forgetting some of these issues. And I think for me, that's one of the things that has been valuable about taking part in the project. The exhibition is called Cartographies of Life and Death, John Snow and Disease Mapping, and it's on at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine from the 13th of March to the 17th of April 2013. There are various events going on in Soho as well, and those are all on the website johnsnow.org.uk.